in terms of spirit guides, if you will, are we all assigned a group of spirit guides?
We all have spirit guides, absolutely. Assigned, I'm not sure that I'd say it was assigned as much as because as you evolve and change and your resonance, that vibe you're sending out changes, you're going to attract different ones. In fact, doing mediumship work, even in front of groups, you notice very quickly, at least I do, the patterns of things. You'll start off with a resonance. You're talking to one person about a grandparent who played the violin, and before you know it, you've got seven other violinists in the room.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like that when you start sending out a particular vibe, it is brought into your life.
So they're more, I won't say spirit guide du jour, but they're more in terms of what you're resonating at that period in your life.
That's occupying your mind and your consciousness, yes.
Okay.
But we do have some, I think, that I believe that we sort of stay with us throughout the whole thing, like a personal spiritual coach, if you will. They're always there.
How do you meet them?
Yeah, ask who's there, who's helping me, why are you here, what can I learn, how can we work together, interview them like you might any other job applicant.
And I would also assume that it's easy to talk about this, but I assume this is a skill to be developed, like playing an instrument or anything else, that for someone like yourself, it was spontaneous, a gift, if you will. But for others who aren't so gifted, I assume it takes a lot of practice. Is it possible in everyone?
It's possible in everyone. And people like me who may be sort of jolted into it through near-death experience, through having been born with a more open kind of centers, that still leaves us negotiating the gap. We have to sort it out, figure it out, tell it to go away. I used to see horrible things like the Challenger explosion, and I finally said, don't show me things I can't change. All it does is bother me, make me sad. And there is a certain ability, and Nancy may be one of those persons too. A lot of people who are highly compassionate often find that they're so connected to others that they actually literally almost feel their pain as well as their own. And sorting out what's yours and what belongs to the collective is really tough.
Yeah, I'd assume anyone who is a psychic is also to a degree an empath, and putting that boundary there is key to survival.
Yes, so we have to sort out, is this depression or this feeling of sadness, is it mine or is it me being spongy?
Right, and picking up on a thought around me, sure. Now, of all the things you've learned from those who are not incarnate, is there anything that was really surprising or revealing to you in a way that you wouldn't have expected it?
You know, there was something that I never, in all those years of training as a counselor, and I even worked with children and families, you know, in my training period and all that, and after for a while, I never once thought about this, but people on the other side who die suddenly really encourage us to not name young ones after them, because the person who's, it's an honor, yes, but the child grows up in fear often. Oh, you know, Uncle Joey died, he was 19, in that diving accident, I'll die too at 19, that sort of thing.
That's fascinating.
Yeah, it really did kind of catch me off guard. I was like, oh, I never thought about that.
But yeah.
It makes such logical sense to me, even from a psychological standpoint, that children don't have the capacity to have a nuanced kind of thinking going on. And they don't see that it's an honor. They just know they're named after someone who died young and presume it'll happen to them.
And not only that, they're probably told, oh, you're named after Uncle Joey who was hit by a camel or whatever.
Right. And it becomes almost traumatizing for them. So that was something that kind of was like, oh, wow. Now, you know, naming a similar name, an initial, a middle name or something, then all that's fine. But, yeah, that kind of, it seems like a real practical thing.
Well,
that's one thing I've learned.
You know, that apart from anything necessarily spiritual or intuitive, I think we forget how impressionable children are, and very often parents will laugh off a child's fears or concerns, and that can be somebody who 30 years down the road is in your office for counseling.
True. I don't mean to make light of the need for counseling, but you're right. It's taking it lightly here. Yes, those things seem so small, and that the impact, the seeds they plant, can be huge.
Yeah, and I think that of all the things I see karmically, and maybe it's not karmic because most of the adults who are the biggest offenders aren't the abusers. They're, I want to call them the brain dead. They're just unaware that they are impregnating children with thoughts, fears, and complexes that are not going to go away.
It's true. And then the child learns what we all learn in the end, I guess, which is pretty much it's up to you individually to sort it out. You get help and support and love and balance partners, as I call them in my book on soulmates, people who are there to help you. But it's still your job in the end.